Hang on a second, guys. One second.
What up?
We've got to give a shout out to South Nashville Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Friend and supporter, showing proof. Also, the longest running sponsor of I Got Some Shit to Say, the podcast.
Absolutely. Look, man, South Nashville Heating and Cooling, where quality and craftsmanship come together. They've been doing this since 1985. That's almost 40 years of service. Expert designs, quality installations, superior service.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something.
What's that?
Tell me.
I feel confident in the fact that South Nashville Heating and Cooling will keep me warm in the winter.
For sure.
It'll keep me cool in the summer.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, these middle months, you'll be comfortable even then.
Absolutely, dude.
Y'all know the deal, man. South Nashville Heating and Cooling, we love those guys. Y'all see the name, y'all see the number. Tap in.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Always.
Stop!
Yo, real quick, guys, it's Squint615 from I Got Some Shit to Say. Just want to let you guys know, as of right now, we're a couple episodes into 2024 season. We still have one sponsorship opportunity available. So if you or anyone you know may be interested in that current position, let us know. DM me or Chad Arms directly on IG. Also, we are currently booking for both I Got Some Shit to Say podcast and Chad Arms TV interviews. Only way you can get those is if you DM me or Chad Arms directly on IG. Okay? Also, don't forget, show and prove merch available, chadarmstv.com or DM mail on IG. Real simple stuff, guys, but had to get that out there and let you guys know once this opportunity is gone, it's gone. The calendar's filling up fast. We always working. Y'all know this, but I'll leave you alone. Let's get to the show. Pow! It's I Got Some Shit to Say to podcast, man. We're back like we don't stop, because trust us, we never do. All we do is work. Y'all know me.
Fuck you, Squints.
That's right. R.I.P.
Wizzle fizzle.
Forever. And always. With me as usual, down on the end of the couch, I got that guy.
ChadArmsTV.com.
Stamped.
Yes. Okay. And next to him, that one guy.
Biting on your mama backside.
Okay.
Hell yeah, watch out for the Mildreds.
That was original too. I liked it.
Chewy, bitch.
Hey man, the element of surprise has been great.
Man, I'm telling you, man.
Shout out to Chewbacca.
Yeah.
All right, dude, we got a guest, dude. One I'm stoked to have. It's extended family situation, man. Shout out Grind Hard. We got the landlord in the motherfucking building, dog. Welcome.
Man, what's up? What's up with y'all? What's up with y'all?
Bro, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
I told him when he walked through the door, bro, fun fact. As soon as he walked through the door, I was like, bro, it's so weird to see. Because I'm a new fan, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a late coming to the party, I guess. But once I tapped in, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been tapped in now lately. And then you walk through the door, it's like, hey,
it's crazy,
you know what I mean? This is weird, bro. But yeah, shout out landlord, bro. We're glad to have you, man. Grind Hard, you know what I'm saying? We recently had Lido through. There's been plenty of those charms sitting on that couch as of lately, you know
shout
what I mean?
Trap.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the other stepbrother himself, Don Tripp.
Absolutely.
Shout out
Trip. Fate rocked one of them things over here.
Yeah, for sure. Dude.
Shout out to all those guys.
It's cool, man.
That name, though, means a lot, man, especially around it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rich history in there right there, man.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot. Is that cool? You want me to move around?
No, that's good.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Good.
I think I found out about your music through, I think, one of the features you was on with Lido, one of Lido's projects. I think that may be initially how I found out about you. But then I went and dove into like the catalog and stuff. It's probably about a year ago.
Yeah,
that's when I heard the Far From Perfect joint that you dropped in 2021.
Okay, yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh yeah, because that was the first time I heard a full project. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
And so salute to you, man. You make really dope music, dude.
I appreciate that.
A lot of it too. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what I was. That was like the more element of surprise to the whole scenario for me personally, because I wasn't, like I said, I was newcomer, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then when I got acquainted with the what you were doing and really tapped in and just saw the catalog expand, like okay, I'm fucking late, you know what I'm saying? But the affiliation was an immediate attention thing for me, you know what I'm saying? Like one said, that name and that piece, man, that means a lot in this city, mm-hmm. as far as mm-hmm. from a consumer stand base. Man. You know what I'm saying? 100. There's a respect value that's attached to that that's just like unmatched. So. But yeah, dude, it's interesting to see, like Chad said, like some of the features that as far as like the local acquisition that we're all used to, see your name sprinkled in along the way. You know what I'm saying? It's not it's not an unfamiliar thing as far as trap or fucking. We've seen the features, know, their collaborative efforts between you guys. But it's dope to see.
How'd that come about, you and the Grind Hard?
I actually, I told the story before, too. But before I even knew who he was, a couple of my little young partners, they used to be listening to him in the trap and shit. Every time I come in there, they'd be bumping his music.
Yeah.
And from just hearing him so much in the trap with them, I went and looked at a video on YouTube in the day that I actually seen how he looked, because I was listening to the music, never had a face. The day I seen how he looked, I actually went to a Floyd Mayweather fight.
Mm-hmm. And Flex.
He was there. So.
Oh, dang, okay.
When I seen him, I'm like, oh, yeah, boom. I told him I've been tapped in with his music and shit, boom.
Said he went to the fight.
Yeah.
That's a flex. That's a major flex. I'd love to go to a fucking Mayweather
fight. Yeah, I actually was signed to Floyd at one point.
Flexing all over the place. Jesus Christ. Money team.
And of course, for the listeners and watchers, Chad Arms TV, you're from Vegas, right? Yeah,
born and raised
in Vegas.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the born and raised aspect. I mean, I knew that's, you know, where you reside, et cetera, but I didn't know if the born and raised was a fact or not.
Yeah, born and raised. So, yeah, at the fight, we had chopped it up a little bit, and then after that, probably like I said, about like a month and a half, 2 months later, he had tweeted like, hey, anybody know landlord, tell him to holler at me, boom, I'm in the city type shit. So one of my partners that seen a tweet was like, hey, I think Lito talking about you, boom, boom. So I DM'd him. We exchanged numbers, you know, and we linked on some other shit, you know, a couple of times. And from there, we just built a friendship. Like, we never, like, it was like months and months before we even did a song together, you know.
Wow, okay, cool. Just like an organic kind of build, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, bro. I think it's interesting to hear that you're born and raised in Vegas, man. That's fucking.
Man, I love Vegas.
I wouldn't know, bro. I'm so scared, man.
It ain't a lot of born and raised that else.
Nah.
Like,
so nah. Really. Yeah, that seems more rare to me. What's that like growing up in Vegas, man? I can only imagine.
Crazy. It's just a fast city.
Yeah.
Being from there is like going to other cities, everything is just so slow. Like, sometimes you might start your night at 12:31 in the morning in Vegas because it go on to 8, 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
Liquor stores all open all night. Just everything just wide open from 24.
My first experience with Vegas was a
prostitute. Oh, my bad.
It's a funny story about that, too. But I was there, man, through around March Madness.
Oh, okay. It'd be turned up during March Madness.
I can only see the growth, too, of, like, the city. Like, because even, like, here, Nashville and shit, like, seeing the growth, like, because we're natives here.
It's crazy. They built, you know, last 15 years, it's like a total different city.
Right.
You know, as far as the sports and the teams and the new houses, and they build
the sphere thing.
That's right. Y'all got the Raiders down there.
And they got the athletics.
Yeah, they're about to get the Oakland A's baseball team. That's a done deal.
Oh, shit.
Okay. That's wild, right? But that sphere thing, I want to go to that thing. That fucking
big, crazy.
That shit's wild as fuck, bro.
Your brother lived next to us, so, like, going to his crib, like, you just watch the process since they started.
Yeah.
Crazy to see.
Right? It's unbelievable to see just through screens and shit. I can't imagine being there, but I'm going to go to that motherfucker.
It's
going to happen.
When was music, like, something you wanted to start doing? Like, was it early as a kid or was it later
on? Yeah, I mean, I flirted with doing music and, like, just wanting to be, like, a rapper since a little kid, you know? But,
yeah.
I didn't, like, take it serious until, you know, shit got serious in the city for me, like, in high school. You know, I just kind of felt like walls was kind of caving in type shit. So I went after high school, I graduated, though. So I went to Seattle. Once I moved to Seattle.
Damn.
And I was doing a school out there, like, trying to just get away. Getting away from the city. And after that, some shit happened out there. So I came back to the city. I was like, I can't go back to the streets, bro. I got to do something different.
Yeah.
So then I just started fucking with the music, like 07 type shit.
Okay. Were your influences more, were they more West Coast since you were from out that way, or were they a little bit everywhere?
It's crazy. The exact opposite. Of course, I used to listen to Tupac and all that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The South, I always was inspired by the South, the East Coast.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Same here.
So is Pac like your favorite or the
all time? I'm gonna have to say Wayne, but Tupac is like
there you go.
Wayne and Pac my top two.
Yeah. But, so if somebody said Pac or Biggie, sorry to cut you off. If somebody said Pac or Biggie, you gonna say Pac?
Fast.
You know what I'm saying? Me too. Yeah, the same shit.
Fast. And I do hear a lot of people pick Biggie. I never really understood it.
Right.
But I did go back and listen to some of the stuff, so I kind of see it, but.
Yeah, he talked the shit a little bit.
I'm a Pac fan though.
What about?
I love them both, but
what about Nas? You like Nas? So different.
I like Nas. He wasn't like
too deep for me.
My top East rapper, but nah, I fuck with him though. I definitely give him his respect.
Yeah, he's still definitely doing. He's still dropping
as one of the
He's up there for sure. Sure. Lyrical talent and all that kind of shit. No disrespect to Nas or any of that.
That backwards song, I don't know, that probably never happened again.
Right?
That's I don't know how the fuck.
Yeah, something that can't be duplicated either.
Mine was Dipset. Dipset the locks.
I was big on Dipset because
I was a Punchline fan. That's why I became such a fan of Star early on. Because and it's crazy when he's on the pod. He said a lot of his influence were East Coast punchers.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's fuck it, yeah, bro.
All
that's
Cassidy, that makes all them, sense. Just watching them punt them video, them
bro. Smack DVDs,
Yeah, man. I started out battle rapping.
I was gonna ask, was that
so long ago? But it was like,
me and Warner are huge battle rap fans. We're not, I've never wanted to be a battle rapper, but I've loved watching it for 20 years.
For sure.
I can't do it, man, because it's the disrespect to come along with it. I know it's a sport, but man, I get in my feelings, man.
The way they do it now, hell
yeah. The way they do it now, fuck yeah, bro.
It ain't like freestyle now. Like, they'll have 3 months to write about one person. Yeah.
Pulling out props and shit.
Well, and they look up their family. Like, they look up, they kids. Do all, man, bro.
I'll shoot your door to throw down the steps type shit.
Bro. Yeah, all up in your face, too, bro.
Woo-wee.
Matter of fact, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, Smack had Summer Madness out in Vegas, and Floyd was part of the whole promo of that. I remember that. Like some 4 or 5 years ago, they were out in Vegas with Floyd.
I wonder if that's when, because I remember who battled. Was Reed?
I think it was Reed and T Rex.
I remember Reed came.
Reed Dollars and T Rex was back then. That's when it was.
When I talked to him, he was saying he was coming. So that's probably when it was.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, it really is.
It's dope that you like the East Coast and
man,
down south too. That's dope.
Big on that for sure.
To hear the influence side of it though, around that timeline, and you mentioned that type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where that flavor originated from, I guess. What you know to lead to it, for but so the recording process. That's when that started. Like what'd you say? 07?
Nah, that's when I
or got serious about the music.
Just trying to get in the studio. I think I recorded my first song. I recorded a song like when I was like a teenager. One of my older partners that ended up getting locked up, but he ended up writing a song for me word for word, and I went and rapped it. That was my first time like playing with it.
Yeah.
But my first real song was like I say like 07.
Okay.
06, 07.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long? If that just stayed like local thing? You all do it at the crib? How's that work?
Nah, it was a studio. I actually recorded at somebody's house early on too, but it was a studio. That like I said, my people's that he ended up getting a deal before he went and did 11 years. But before he got locked up, he had signed like a deal with like some people local that had money.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you had access to it
in a real studio.
Yeah, and that's dope.
They gave him the keys, real shit. And he just was in there all day, all night. He used to come back to the neighborhood, talk, you know, letting me hear his shit.
Dope.
I want to do a song.
Yeah, no, that's sick.
Ain't it crazy, like, to see the difference from, like, 07, how music has evolved from, like, 07 to now, man?
Night and day.
Yeah.
It's wild.
We get to have that type conversation, too, with, like, a percentage of our guests, you know what I'm saying? Because some of them don't understand, like, how things used to move, you know what I mean, before the digital market was, like, a thing like it is now. Yeah, when physical copies and CDs and all that shit was still a thing, you know, that was a whole different scheme of things, man.
And I kind of compare that to some of our parents and how they had stuff that we don't understand.
Absolutely.
What's the
A-Tracks.
A-Tracks.
Yeah, the Reel to Reel, all that shit.
Even the big records.
Right. Yeah, the big, and of course, they jump back like Jordan with the 4 or 5, too. The vinyls are huge.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, they brought the vinyls.
Yeah, they brought them back. But, like, I still, to this day, if somebody was to ask me, like, what's your favorite era of rap, to me, the mixtape, Dat Piff rap era, is the best to me. For like sure. the mid-2000s, right. When the Jeezys and the Waynes with Dedication.
Facts.
And Dipset and 50 Cent was doing the Who Kid. All that stuff was the biggest shit in the world to me, man. Because that's rapping, when we were,
rapping.
And that's when everybody's attention spans, you actually had a listener, like where you don't have somebody for 15, 30 seconds. You could put an 80-minute music, like mixtape out, and they listen to every minute of it.
It's because of the physical copy thing, bro. It's just so, music's so accessible now. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can be like, oh, this song reminds me of this song, and then somebody flip it on you and play that next song you just said mentioned, you know what I mean, within seconds. And you're not even finished the first song. Like, it's like, that's how it be. And even now, like, you know, getting in your car, we all get comfortable. You know, we used to all make our own mix CDs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we used to all get our fucking blank CD, and we pile our favorite songs and get a homie to do
it. Shout out LimeWire, bro.
Absolutely. But as soon as
I came up off y'all in the early 2000s,
but
bro,
that iPod came out, Bubba. When that iPod dropped, bro, that's when it changed.
It changed the game.
Everything. Now it's just like next.
When
next,
somebody told
next,
me they
next,
had an
next,
iPod
next.
And it was a shuffle, you know,
hell yeah.
I said, wait a minute, you got 500 songs on that thing, and I had a book of CDs that was this big that I had to, you know, get a wheelbarrow to put in my truck. And it was like, man, it's all on here, man. What's an iPod?
I didn't know what that was.
So I was watching some videos over there with Cuz and them yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And they was playing old Yo Gotti videos, like 2010.
Yeah.
And they had it was a commercial, YouTube commercial popped up. It was a smartphone watch. I don't know if y'all remember those joints, but they didn't really pop off like crazy.
Yeah.
But it was a big ass smartphone watch. And they had everybody from Yo Gotti to DJ Khaled, like old DJ Khaled.
Pushing his product.
Yeah, just pushing them. I'm looking at it like.
It just didn't take off?
It didn't at all. And I'm looking at it like, man, iPhone did all that.
Mimic did it all over.
And theirs was in 2010. It just never popped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, Wayne, when you used to go back to Wayne being probably like one of your favorites.
Number one.
Yeah, for sure, number one.
He's definitely in there with mine too, just because he had that sound, that down south sound. But then when he started coming out, when Carter One dropped, bro, started that punchline and he started the metaphors, it wasn't about any of that with Hot Boys. It was just about the flow, flow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But once he reinvented that, that's when that falls into that mid-2000s era.
Yeah, nobody did it like Wayne, bro.
Bro, no.
Or does it like Wayne?
Yeah.
He's still snapping. Him and 2 Chainz' new project.
That's just like
fire,
that's
bro.
Like, you know, too long. He just said he was doing it for so long, giving so many different bars, different songs,
and the most genius shit. He'd still be saying shit still in verses that I'd be like, "Did you hear that?"
You know what's crazy though?
What's that?
We knew this shit was gonna happen. Back when Wayne was 12, 13. Dude,
writing for
we knew he was gonna be the greatest if he kept
the shit he was talking about.
Bruh.
I don't curse, but in his verse, man.
Man.
Fuck the world. A teenager saying that, like,
bruh. I swear.
13, 14.
Man, right? I think it was the Youngblood sample or Youngblood's feature where he's like six. Bruh. He's like 16. He's 15, 16. Things out the attic, time to pilot some down. I was just like, whoa. Like, it making sound effects and shit, bro. I was like, golly. Shout out Wayne. He's probably watching, man. I'm trying to tell you.
He is. Shout out to Wayne. Going back to the talking about the attention span, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the kind of segue into the most recent album that you dropped was in March, and it was Permanent Scars,
right?
Great project, bro.
Love the title, too.
Yeah, great body of work. Yeah. I love that whole record.
And I appreciate that.
I'm pretty sure, going back to just to tie it in with the attention span, right after you dropped that, I bet the majority of your fans was like, when's the next one dropping?
Immediately.
Yeah, it's good and bad in a way artists, you're like, man, y'all don't know what I just put into this project.
Yeah.
And I appreciate y'all, but give me a little bit.
Yeah, listen to it.
Marinate on this thing for a little bit because this was my heart that I just poured out.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just it goes back to it. I don't want to call it the TikTok era, but that's what it is. It's just like 15 seconds. Okay, next. Nothing has that allure to it like it did in the CD era.
Yeah, you know? Facts.
So, but you want to talk about that project though?
Permanent Scars was a project that that I did put a lot into. And I understand the fans when they just want to hear more because that's the type of
world we live in. Yeah.
Everybody else giving them, you know, a bunch of music. But yeah, that was one of them ones where I was kind of like coming out of that fake love, you know, era where it's like, all right, what happened happens. You know, I got scars from it and they permanent, but you know, yeah, and I was just, you know, putting together songs for my everyday life.
I love the whole album, but that one I was saying about off camera, the Pain Holders one.
Oh yeah,
when you're rapping to.
Letting it go.
Yeah, letting things go.
Letting the pain go and rapping to the pain holders, the people that's holding the pain just like I was.
Yeah, man.
And you know, because I had a bunch of albums, like, and you still going to hear it because, like I said, it's on my heart and that's why I rap from. But just letting some of that pain go, bruh. You know, letting some of them people rest in peace and you know, and still love them and keeping their name alive, but just like, can't hold on to that every day because I got a son, you know, and I gotta be 100% present. I can't be caught up in that that dark space. So much.
I totally understand what you're saying, especially from like a release standpoint, therapeutic standpoint. For sure, go ahead, Chad. My bad.
No, you good? Like, you be saying some shit too, dog. Like that. Going back to that, it wasn't that album, but the previous album you dropped in 2021, the song you did with Trap, the back door by
Far From Perfect.
That you said something, I can't remember word for word, but it was something about my boy got caught trying to go make it home. They threw him out at third or something.
Yeah, they caught it's crazy because that's what he was on his way home and got killed. He was walking home type shit, and that's why I said they caught my nigga Marty going home and threw him out at third.
Dude, and RIP to your homie too, man, for sure.
Appreciate that.
But them kind of lines stick out, and it makes sense to me now that, like, when you tell us that your influences are waning, and then, like, that some of that East Coast stuff, like, that, because you've been, like, you be taking it there too.
You can tell, tell you're a deep brother, man. Even by the title of the song, like, Pain Holder, man, that's a deep title.
Oh, man.
It's crazy because a lot of people, like most of the time,
or permanent scars, you know.
A lot of people take like with songs, us as artists, like if you really like a perfectionist and you really care about your craft, it take a long time making these songs and putting the ideas together.
Yeah,
but when you even deeper than that, it's like you got artists like I feel like Lito one of them too. It's a lot of a lot of artists like that too. I ain't the only one, but that take a whole months on a title. Months on a cover, months calculated, back cover.
Calculated.
Yeah. Even the titles of the song. I'm just making the songs. I go back and make the titles and I make sure they're not typical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might say something a couple times in the hook, but I'm not naming it that just because that's what everybody does. I'm not going to, you know, Pain Holders was a title that I feel like that's what describes the song. That's not what I'm saying in the hook. And you know what I mean?
I totally get it.
Yeah, and you noticed what I was going to ask you too about this particular project.
Yeah,
did you set out to do a project with this whole vibe, or was it you was cutting records and then you were like, "Well, this is kind of where it's going."
This kind of my every album process is kind of like just rapping. I'm just rapping.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then once I form like a good six or seven that I really like, then that kind of like formed a project. So what it'd be like, that six or seven might be six or seven majority super deep songs. So I go and say, all right, now I need
you let it for create the theme of the record type shit.
Let it create the base of it. And then I start dressing it up like that.
Yeah, that's cool though, man.
So what do you think about, like, see, I think, like, as we talk about how the market's changed over so many years, you know what I mean, about how artists have to keep up with that type speed the lack of attention span and all that type shit. Like, artists are continuously pressed for continuous music. You know what I mean? Like, I watch it with these guys all the time, like, in close relationship with them. But an artist like yourself, same thing, like, you're openly saying that. But then, like, to also hear you admit, like, how much you put into it, and Chad said it earlier, like, you guys don't understand how much we put into these albums.
Yeah, for sure.
But I totally see it, and I think that's, like, that's a hard adjustment, man. And I even to, like, sit and think about, from an artist perspective, like, man, I can't keep up with these other guys. Because I've done that before, you know what I mean? And I think that was, like, a major thing with me, man. Like, I've said that a million times. Like, I used to be, like, more active in music myself, and I kind of steered back, and we focused on these guys and what they're doing and the pod. But from my – I can't keep up with the level of creativity, it seems like
it's tough for sure.
Needed to be like in their face continuously, unless you have like a stamp into this shit, and motherfuckers are just always gonna be waiting.
Waiting, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's something hard to keep up with, if you ask me.
That's kind of how, like, see what I do, like. I think I'm able to record. Like I can do what Trip do. You know,
hell yeah, talk your shit.
Album a month if I wanted to.
That shit is different.
Yeah,
but just recording the recording process when you really, really, really deep into your craft, it takes a little bit of time. And that's what if you don't like if you don't feel like dropping, like all the time, like most of these artists doing. Make sure these projects that you're putting out is really, really well put together.
Absolutely.
And it lasts long. Because you can't do that if you're not making sure these songs is hidden, making sure like the topics is really, really, really deep. So it like my album might, you know, live longer than somebody who just like throwing some shit out there. So if I know I'm only gonna drop one or two albums in a year or something, I'm gonna make sure
they count.
They count.
Absolutely.
Make sure they count.
That's real though.
Music,
music is a feeling, man. And you get people to start feeling, and it don't go away quick.
Absolutely.
That's why I said in one of the songs on Permanent Scars, where said I want to go, my heart want to go, but my legs not moving. The fans don't care. They just want us to drop music.
Yep.
But how long y'all gonna realize that I'm a human? And that's really. Like I really, they really want that music, but I don't just put together songs.
I be
like
going
I,
through shit, man.
And I make these songs based on you know my life experiences.
Absolutely,
so I can go in there and talk some bullshit, but if I'm doing you know if I'm doing music for other reasons now, like it's not
pure.
Yeah, dude.
And you just said like if whatever music you are putting out, like you're gonna make it count. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like you and just said again, like. I ain't putting out no bullshit. I respect the fuck out of that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm from that era that appreciates that move. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that type of moving. But you know, some of these kids, man, like from a younger aspect, a younger demographic, that it's a whole different. I think that's where artists that that go with the more like value in their records and appreciate. You know, like
yeah.
You know,
and then being signed to Grind Hard. You know, like. Mm-hmm. People don't realize these albums, they take it. They even take time to get the business together.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
As far as the producers and, you know, and the features getting clearance and all of that, making sure that the samples is getting clear. Like, a lot of that stuff take time, so it's hard to just, unless you just doing, you know, people dropping mixtape beats and, drop, you know, just doing shit. But if you're trying to get, like, the bang for your buck type of shit.
It's a process.
Get as much out of it as you can, you got to, it's a process.
Yeah.
For sure. What do you think about like the other parts of being in the music, like the social media, being on social medias and this type stuff, the podcast and like that type stuff that's changed?
You know, I like it. I embrace the change. So I like it at all. It's all come with the music business. I feel like it's added. It's something added to music now. If you love it, you know, if you love it like I love it, you know, you'll embrace the change and what it come with. But I got a lot of stuff that I feel like I'm, like, maybe outgrowing a little bit, you know, as far as, like, some of the stuff that come with just being a rapper.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, say this.
Facts.
Yeah.
All right, so quick story. We was in North Carolina, right?
Me
personally, I just got back into music probably like a year and a half ago or something like that.
Yeah. He took 8 years off, too, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, we out in North Carolina, man, we on the road doing the thing, man, and back before I left, it was you know, we'd do a show, then we'd do an after party, and then we up all night.
So,
fuck that.
Can't do it now.
Fuck that.
Shit hit different now, bro.
Different now, for sure.
Life's
sent me back to the hotel.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, go home.
Yeah, unless it's drug induced, then I could probably pull it off. Just being real. Just being honest, guys. But yeah, I think that is different, man. Like every aspect, like just an artist from someone that started recording in 07, you know what I mean? Like kind of appreciates that transition, and they just move a little different, you know what I mean? Ways that we fucking appreciate, because I mean, like they said, like from the artist perspective, and me say from someone that used to try to move like that, man, that's got to be pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially
with a solid fan base relying on it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
especially like if even like he was saying, if you put out one project or two projects a year, and you want to make sure them two are definitely
counting.
But like, but then you get a situation, and Lito spoke on this with Trip doing what he did. Yeah. Not only are you dropping quality projects, but you're dropping one every month. Every month. Gotta, and you're doing it in real time. You don't have a stack that you're just pulling from and throwing. Wow. Like that's what's crazy. Yeah. So like
that lets different. That make me salute him even more.
Exactly.
That bro. Shit is different, man. Like and just like to what Chad's saying, the for him to do that has, like he's done every month for this year, and it be the quality that it is, like it's not like they all are like comparable, like comparing like how the levels of heat that they contain. Like it's not like, oh, that one sucked though. You know what I mean? Like
man, one thing I appreciate about what he did, man, was like he really captured the moment and you when you're doing it. Drop them out like it every month, man. You have to capture that moment that you, especially if you're a dope artist, you appreciate what you do. Mm-hmm. That his regular day to day is in that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. So,
shout out Trip. Yeah, we rock with Dude Heavy over here, bro.
Artwork on the albums was cool too. Like
It's solid as fuck, bro. Everything and some of these visuals now, his visuals are real heavy right now, like shorts and reels and shit. Yeah. Like,
and that's where music going to. You got to do
for
it
for sure.
It's about that adjustment that we've been covering.
I love that. And when this drops, we're 2 weeks. He just dropped his final project of 2023. We're in 20. This is the first one in 2024.
Happy New Year, motherfuckers!
So he dropped all. He dropped 12 projects, and like you were saying with the shorts, I love that it's just him with the iPad just rapping, bro.
Yeah,
like it's just that, or if it's him in the tour bus, or if it's him, you know, it's just cool, man, and it's inspiring for artists. And I told him that like what he's doing because somebody that drops a lot of music over the years, like that stuff he's doing to me is like. That's just different. That's a different level. Yeah.
It's
not recycled records.
Yeah, dude.
Or like
when he told it, he came over here and told us that on the pod. Like he's like, yeah, man, all that shit's real time. You know, I'm not scratching records. I'm not stacking records. He's like, I just record. I'm recording these records and putting them out every month. It's like, what?
Man, that's crazy. Because I get like sometimes I'd be the one to the studio once or twice, like in 1 week where I just.
Sit there.
Don't even make shit. I'm like listening to 25 beats, and I'm just like, bro, I'm gonna do it tomorrow. Then come in there, like, no, I ain't feeling it. Like,
that's what Lito was saying too. Yeah,
intro
was just telling me I was thinking too much. You know,
writer's block. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And that just come from one every album to count.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck, I can't go in there. I can go in there and just rap. I can do that, but. I kind of want to just go in there and just rap.
When you're to the spot that you're at career wise, and just as a person, you know what I mean? Your mind's matured from what it was probably 10, 15 years prior when you started. And it's like, if it doesn't mean something to you,
it don't mean nothing.
It's just like, I'm just.
Like I'm using music, life experiences and trying to help people through theirs. And if I ain't got nothing on my brain or my heart for that, I can't just go in there, you know?
I think that approach is appreciated. Like, I appreciate the fuck out of that just personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know me and Chatty both got a chance to watch your Off the Porch
interview. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Shout out Dirty Glove. But that you say that in that interview that, you know, your music, you've been told, you know, enough times now that you know your music is impactful and that people, you know, can ride off that shit and relate to that shit. And I think when that hits with the artist and they fucking appreciate it and harness that and know that what they are saying actually means something.
You know what
I'm saying? And that's just a whole different level of respect we start talking about. You know what I mean? Because there's lots of artists out there, bro, that just they hear that people are listening. Mm-hmm. And they will throw anything out there and don't give a fuck what they're saying.
I swear.
You know what I mean? And we could probably just start naming off names and people will understand what we're trying to say. You know what I'm saying? But
I did it. I dropped Fake Love 1, 2, 3, and my audience started growing so fast. Like, I pulled a stunt. Like, I seen this was one of them big ass artists is. Dropped a surprise album where they was like, all right, album out today. Mm-hmm. Go fuck with it. And I had some bunch of music laying around, made some new songs, and it was the Unwanted Attention. I dropped that after Fake Love 3. Yep. And everybody I talked to say they fuck with it, but I literally feel like it was like one of the ones that I don't fuck with.
And it was, and you feel like it was thrown together or something?
I just threw it out. It wasn't really, you know, it wasn't me like consciously, like, you know, the topics of what I was talking about. It was just all over the place.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear you say that. Especially after like that, where we just were. But yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes I go back and listen to it just because so many people say it's one of their favorites. But I, like I said, me personally, I didn't have no rollout. I didn't shoot no visuals really to it. I just literally just like threw it out because people was listening. I seen the audience growing. I'm like, oh shit, I'm looking at the money that's coming from just dropping online. I'm like, oh, I didn't for to drop another one. I just dropped it with no real.
You mentioned
still a solid project though, bro. I still think it's dope. I see what you're saying though.
But to even hear him say earlier, you know, like he's fully capable of knocking out records if that's what he's doing. Sure. But
I did like 10 features, you know, in a day. That's, they got the topics already, and I can just go in there and you know do my shit.
Yep. Do you like that approach towards a record? Do you like being able to walk into the studio and there'll be like half, you know, like.
And I could just do a 16.
Where the hook may already be there, or the concept for a record, or the idea for the record. You know what I mean? All you got to do is drop a verse.
Mm-hmm. I like doing features too, because I get to go somewhere. Like what they rapping about might be, you know, different than what I even normally rap about. So I might have to pull some stuff from other places to, you know,
test the creativity a little bit. You know what I mean? I love the fuck out of that, man.
And the OG single's dope too, bro. You dropped that in October.
I just dropped that one. Man. I actually, at one of my just around the way in my neighborhood, I seen like niggas talking shit to one of my like one of the big homies that kind of like doing drugs right now. But what he did do, you know, before he did drugs, kind of like.
Respect,
you know, change the neighborhood forever, like, you know, and made a mark on it. So I be, you know, after having a conversation with niggas in the neighborhood, I'm telling them like, bro, we gotta respect our OGs regardless of what, you know, they came here before us, you know, and some of the shit that they did protected us and kept us from getting in trouble and shit. So I wanted to just make sure I made a song about that.
Sure.
And that's I think it's just dying away, man. Like the OGs is no longer, you know what I mean?
And that's why, like I said, that's exactly why I want to put that out. Like, and sometimes your OG might be like, it might be somebody 10 years old. OG might be 21. Your big my big brother's only a couple years older than me, but like I said, I feel like they're my OGs and what they did for me, like growing up, like I held my own, of course, but I'm just saying, just having my big brother them around, it was different. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like I said, and I don't ever want that to like go, you know, unnoticed. Like people just like, all right, your OGs don't mean nothing because he ain't got this no more.
Right.
Because now he got his family doing this now. Man, you probably salute him still every time.
Man,
you see
respect,
him.
Man.
Yeah, sure. I respect you.
That's
real
shit right there, dog.
Yeah, that's the latest single. That was OGs. That's October, you said, Chaddy?
October
23rd. So with Permanent Scars being, when was that?
March.
What are we looking at now? You know they're asking.
No, I got something coming. I got an album and a couple collab albums that's coming too. So yeah.
Dope. Yeah, that's nice to hear, bro. Chaddy said it earlier, bro. This is the first one of 2024, bro.
Sure, yeah, man. That's gonna be hard. Crazy. It's a good way to start the 2024 off for the podcast, man.
Landlord in the building, bro.
And like you were saying about taking, you know, making an impact with your music, bro. I'll tell you this. When I listen to the newest out, when I listen to Permanent Scars album.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love the whole project. But when I was talking about Pain Holders, that was one of those that I ran back like four times before I moved to the next song. Because it was just one of them ones. I was like, man, this shit.
You see the video?
Hitting. Oh, I ain't even seen
that. Oh, I haven't seen no video.
Not for that one. Sure. I definitely will.
I saw a couple of videos.
But I love
that Pain Holders. I kind of like orchestrate the whole like letting go of the pain and stuff in the video, like in a different kind of way. Once y'all see it, just let me know what y'all think.
No, for sure, bro.
That's another thing that changed, man. Like, like video production and stuff, man. It's so easy to do it now.
Yeah,
sure.
And you have more control over on the turnout and shit. Like, that's dope, man.
And even the video, like my visuals, I'm trying to make sure I put a lot of thought into them too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Nothing just for nothing type shit.
Yeah, we totally understand. Trust me. So, especially from that aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to like when you started in 07, right?
Yeah.
Think about what music videos were in 07. Like,
man,
bro, you better have some bands, so much bro. Money. You better have some money.
And there were three people that knew how to do them.
Yeah, right.
And you had to just wait till they were available and wait till you can finance one. Or, you know what I'm saying?
We're shooting a video in August. It's fucking it's February.
Right. We're saving up. Like, I just had to put my house up for a second mortgage. But, like, but the crazy thing is, after this episode, after you head back to where you're going, we're shooting a video. For our project, and we shoot them on an iPhone. That's what's so crazy,
man. I hear that from a lot of cameramen. Like I'm saying, oh man, I'm out here. Boom, I wish you could have. They always say, man, record it with your phone. It's gonna look the same,
bro. You have no idea. Yeah. Like I mean, I'm sure you do from a certain element, but that's something. Like when I took when I mentioned I stepped away from the music, like I started focusing on their shit. Like I started doing the pod for one. And handling like audio and all this shit, and it mixed into doing graphics and mixed into shooting the visuals and all that shit.
Yeah.
But bro, now you can't tell us shit. Like everything's in house. Like we're operating a little different. But to Chad's point, it used to not be like that. We couldn't do that shit like that.
We didn't have music videos, bro. I had and I've been putting out music since 03, bro. And I had maybe three music videos up until 2021.
We've shot fucking 15 in the past 2 years. Literally probably like 15 Chad Arms CV, Chad Arms videos.
The motherfuckers was 10, 20, 30, 40 bro, up to $100,000.
Yes. When I interviewed Lil White, bro, when he shot the I Show Will video, that was 2002 2003, right?
30.
He was signed with it was through Asylum, right? It was in he said the video was 30 bands.
Yeah, 30. That's what I was going to say. What
Paul and the Juicy J.
That's the budget.
I believe.
30 bands for that video. And it was not even HD because HD wasn't a thing till 08.
Motherfucker gave me $30,000 for a budget. For a video budget this year, bro, we are
that's
good.
That's for the whole 60 year. 60
videos.
That's one. Just one. God, 30 bands.
That's wild, bro. And I mean, Lito said the same thing too. Whenever back in the early days of him, when he was talking about it on the pod, it's just the way things were, man. Everything. Man. There's that meme going around social media that's like all of this fits in your pocket now, and it's all this different equipment. You know what I mean? Like computer, calculator, like all this this room full of shit. It's all on your phone. Yeah,
all on your fucking phone.
That's crazy, a trip, bro. This and we just think it's normal now. Fast, if you think about it, it's like we're in the future. We're on some jets and shit, and we just don't really know it because we've been living in it as it's been happening.
Man, just imagine when you used to be, first of all, have to get a ride from somebody. And then you don't even got you got a call. Hey, man, I'm going to be outside because you're on the house phone.
Oh, yeah.
House phone.
Oh, yes.
Hey, bro, I'm going to be outside. What time you coming? It's going to be, all right, 2:30. I'm going to be out there.
Fuck yeah.
And then you got to know how to get there. There wasn't no map quest in the city.
Man, 259 WKRN, bro.
Come on, man.
They don't know about that. I remember when I say 259 WKRN, that used to be a telephone number you could call just to keep the phone from ringing when you had a caller waiting.
Yeah.
Remember that type shit? Like, that's how old I am, bro.
Man.
Where I'd be waiting on the homie to pull up.
Yeah.
Call me when you pull up. I'll call 259 WKRN so the phone don't ring. So I'm sitting there listening to this automated bullshit, like some sports report type shit.
Yeah,
so I'm just chilling, waiting on homie to beep the line.
Yeah.
He beep in, I'd be like, all right, outside. And then I go outside.
That's before
cell phones was,
man,
like.
What about time, man? Y'all used to call time?
Time?
259-2222.
What is that?
To see what time it was.
Yeah, to see what time it was.
To see what time. Man, I remember that.
Yeah,
I don't know if ours was that, but I remember it was the number of the car to get the time.
Yeah, I remember when you had to find the movie, like the movie show.
Hello, times. Welcome to movie phone.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That sounds just like it. You know? I've been working on that shit for years.
Dude, like, no. You'd be like, oh, man, that's crazy.
I got one for you.
Go.
Chat line.
Man, I remember the voice shit.
Yeah,
I remember.
You know, talking to the chicks on that motherfucker.
God, I was so young, bro. That's so young.
Running up a bag, bro. Your parents get that
99 cents a minute.
Fucking $800 talk dirty to me.
It ended up becoming free, though. At some point, you just had to call it like five or six times before you can get in that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That shit be busy,
man. High school, man. That shit was wild. That was our Instagram, man. That was
exactly. You get in the chat with about five, six people, talking, man. And shit. Yeah,
MySpace came and fucked everybody.
Not to mention, in middle school, like
Black Planet.
We're all relatively same age. Middle school, like. You had to go through Flaming Hoops to find a Playboy magazine, dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pornography was not a... bruh.
Like, it's at my dad's house. It's buried under the tree backyard where the doghouse is. Just to see a titty. Now you can pull your phone up and find the worst thing on the internet.
You hit the jackpot. You can pick what you want.
You hit the jackpot. You hit the jackpot.
I want to see a one-legged.
You snap of a finger jackpot. On the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. You can speak it in your phone now.
Dude, yeah. it's gonna pull it up when I get my phone out. I'm going to be on Facebook, man, and it's going to be like, remember this?
When you found that blank VHS up under the motherfucker bed in the oddest place, you knew something was on.
It said E.T. on it or something.
Yeah, you knew
extra testicles. That's what it's called. Extra titties, extra testicles.
Yeah,
man, dude.
That's wild, man.
It's wild, man. Shit's
happy
different,
fucking
man.
New Year.
Back in my day, you know what I mean?
What sucks about this particular episode, though, when we speak about how this is the first one of 2024, which I'm super fucking excited about, all that kind of shit, but it sucks that I can't say, like, well, y'all, I guess I could ask, y'all got plans for New Year's?
Yeah.
What's your plans there, Chatty? You were quick on that.
I just want us to keep growing. I want to keep growing as an artist, as a person. I want to drop 2 solo projects, 2 collab projects this year.
No, that'll happen. That's no problem. Easy layup. And then you got something?
Man, yeah, man. Just do more shows, man. Matter of fact, when this right here come out, tomorrow's my birthday.
Ah, flex.
You know what I mean? So,
and we're performing in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Exactly.
Just in time.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, I'll be there. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I forgot. Yeah, God, the time warp fucks everybody up.
Yeah, we're ahead, man.
Just shows, man. All the shit that's lined up, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I want to hit 100K on Chat Arm Stevens so I can get that silver play button, man.
That's going to happen by March. Yeah, I'm saying March.
I'm hoping so.
Chad's about to hit 80,000.
Y'all, you know, off camera, y'all showing how far y'all came, man. Shit,
man. Oh, yeah. That's just the pod, bro. We've been doing this 3 years now, but as far as the channel goes, Chad's been working on that shit for...
2009 is when I started.
2009? Yeah. And he'll hit 100K in 2024 and get that plaque, you know what I'm saying, like that. And that's been a goal for a long time.
What's crazy about the channel is I started it in 2009, and then I stopped uploading in 2012, and I didn't start uploading again until 2021. Wow. So it stayed dormant for 9 years. I almost deleted it, but I didn't want to delete the videos on it. And then I started back when my boy Worm got out, RIP Worm, and then it just kind of blew up after that. But that's what's crazy. Like, it's just set for 9 years because I was doing other stuff, and I was like, man, I just don't really – and if I wouldn't have ever stopped, I mean, there ain't no telling where we'd be, but you can go back and think that.
All that original content still on there, bro. So it's crazy.
Well, I got my channel too. When I first started, I had a bunch of crazy stuff on there. It's still on there, though.
Yeah,
fuck it. Leave it up.
Yeah. There were 2 blogs that I did privatize because they're super cringe. It's like me in front of the camera.
I recorded one of them, right?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm the first video on Chat Arms TV. Fun fact.
Yeah, your day in the life, 2009. That's when we were using an iPod, a shuffle in the car.
Facts.
Speaking of iPod, bringing it back.
Oh, yeah. Shout out iPod shuffle. Man,
you see the flip phones though?
I don't want to get away from it. Real quick before I forget. 2024. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What you got aspirations for 2024?
More music. Like I said, I want to do a whole bunch of more music. I want to travel a little bit too.
Yeah.
You know, then my son 13.
Okay, dope.
Hell yeah, dude.
About to be 14, so he entered in an important year. So I want to, you know.
He plays sports?
Yeah.
What's he playing?
Football.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's nice.
Dope.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah, that's a fun age, especially if he's nice with it. You know what I'm saying? Sure. He been playing for a long time?
Yeah, since he was 5.
Hell yeah, man. Talk that shit. I mean, that's an interesting conversation.
4, but he started playing tackle at 5.
Yeah. I think flag football is amazing for children. Yeah.
Do you find yourself like getting more excited than him?
Yeah, all the time, man. For sure.
You ever try coaching?
He know that too. I normally any team he played for, I coach. You know, instead of this last year, you know, the coaching staff is pretty like well put together,
solid.
So I get to be a parent.
Do you miss being a coach? Not being a coach this year?
No, I don't. I don't really miss it.
It seems like it'd be so much, bro.
Because it just be a conflict. Like I'd be having to
commit.
Sound like I'm just on him in practice, like because I'm watching him most of the time. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I don't want to be no daddy coach. I'd rather just be a parent.
That's one thing I think about now. I got 3 girls, bro, and luckily at this point, none of them are into sports. Yeah. But my youngest is 3. There's no telling what direction that one will go. But
YouTube star.
Right, for sure, bro. Yeah. It's like almost chiseled out now. I can tell. But I don't think I would always say that if I had boys, I would coach everything. But I don't have time to. There's no fucking way.
You can think that, but wanting
because I still work full time and shit, bro. Like I don't. Fortunately enough,
it's a lot.
Man, I found myself just being one of the first ones at practice just because I wanted him to always look a certain way towards his coaches before I even started coaching. I only coached him like a couple years, like maybe three seasons. But all the other ones just doing that and then being the last one to leave sometime. And when we got to be there an hour early for the game or an hour and a half, I'm there 2 hours early, you know, just getting him ready and all that. So I just found myself just being there so much.
Yeah, involved.
I needed it. I needed to coach just because I was there so much.
That's dope to hear that. Did you play sports?
Yeah, I did. I played pretty much everything. I played football, basketball, baseball. And in high school, when I caught a case, I had caught a gun case. And I went to juvenile. And when I got out, I was on house arrest. And once I was on house arrest, they said, in order to do anything after school, you got to play a sport. So in high school,
sign me up.
My English teacher was a tennis coach. And he was like, you come out. So I really did it to be able to stay out after school.
Yeah.
But it literally turned into something I liked it.
Tennis?
Yeah.
Dope. That's super dope.
I only did it that one year, but it was fun.
Looking back.
It'll take a lot out of you.
Dude, I already know. Looking back, do you wish you would have played tennis earlier?
Nah.
Really?
It was fun, but no.
Yeah, it's still not for you, really.
Yeah, still.
I had to take, so I like almost failed a grade, like it's like eighth grade, I think. I was going to get held back, so I need to go to summer school. All right, no problem, just go to summer school, catch credits up, blah, blah, blah. And it was because of skipping school, truancy bullshit. But I think, anyway. But for like the elective, physical education elective credit, it was a fucking tennis coach. Like, they, you know what I mean? And he was like, fuck the gym. We ain't doing shit in the gym. We're going to go out to the tennis court. I'll teach you how to play tennis this summer.
Yeah.
That shit was fun as fuck. Yeah. Like, bro, we had a blast doing it. It was like fun playing doubles. You know what I mean?
And it's harder than motherfuckers think.
Right? It's a lot of endurance, man.
That shit hard.
You got to stay moving.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Jesus. Doubles, I'm with it. But that single shit, that court's big.
This is huge.
Right? Dude, this is fucking big as fuck. I don't think people realize how big a tennis court is until you step out on that bitch.
I mean, we need to get out there now. Like
doubles.
Like tomorrow. And
I'm just going to stick to tennis shoes.
Oh, that should be funny as hell, man.
Bro, if we got footage of you silly motherfuckers trying to play tennis.
Man, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm going to be garbage, but I'll do it.
Sometime too. It's fun to just go out there and see what happens.
I bet it would be.
Yeah, man.
We're going to get some tennis rackets, bro. Next time you're in town,
let's go play some tennis. And we got to come ready.
Go ahead and record. Do it and record it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The content will be classic.
Yeah.
Chad on TV, can you serve a tennis ball?
I mean.
That's the thumbnail.
I probably could.
Landlord's been dope having you, Bubba.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Appreciate you pulling up, bro. I appreciate y'all for sure.
But we're pull back up when you come back to the city, man.
Yeah, I was going to say that, man.
I'm coming. I'm going to be back like next month, sometime maybe January. I'm definitely going to tap in with y'all.
Please, man. I think, but that's a value to this whole deal, bro, is we know you're tapped into the city. Just like we're tapped into your catalog and shit now, bro, and you're tapped into the city enough, man, that we need you to know, bro, that anytime you got some shit to say, or you just want to pull up, bro, we're here.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Nashville showed me a lot of love. I kind of consider this like a second home for sure.
Yeah, dope, man.
Yeah, so I appreciate y'all.
Y'all be sure to subscribe, tap into what he's got going on. We'll put his links in the chat and the description and all that. Go follow him on social media, man, for sure.
Do all that. Permanent Scars available now.
Absolutely.
The new single, OG.
Out now.
Tap the fuck in, man. We appreciate you a million times over, bro. Yeah, come back and see us. We'll do it again.
For sure. Appreciate y'all, boys.
Absolutely. Yeah, down there on the end, it's that guy, O-N-E. He got some gold things in his mouth now, bro. That's just different.
Mildred.
Them shits hit different, man.
Yeah, man. I've been waiting long enough for the motherfuckers.
I can't tell either. Like, I was worried about if I'd be – I know it's just your bottoms, but I was worried if I'd hear it, and I don't hear it.
I'm practicing, man.
You're doing good, bud. You're doing great.
I'll be in there.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Can't eat no booty with
I really think he was nervous to – I think he was nervous to put him in though for the pod, because he worried about how he sounds.
But
it sounded fine.
All right,
Shout out O-N-E, my good friend Chad Arms TV, our new friend Landlord. Man, y'all tap the fuck in. Squint 615. It's IGotSomeShitToSay.com, ChadArmsTV.com. Chatty, let's go.
Yeah.
Bow.
Bitch, we got views.